when we're preaching about the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible said the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I'm still kind of shooting out of that text. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And we're not going to get love anywhere but from God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. True, genuine, biblical love, godly love. And I want to read a passage of Scripture in John chapter 19. And I'm sorry, John 21. Did I say 19 or did I say John 21? Did I say 19 and 21 both? Well, it's 21. Yeah, John 22. There you go. Yeah, 42. Okay. John 42. I tell you what. You just have to die to yourself when you preach because you just constantly look like a fool. Amen. That's okay, though. You have to get over what people think and all your mistakes. Because I tell you, if God waited for somebody that didn't make a mistake, he never would get anybody. But anyway, John chapter 21. And there's a song that we sing here at church. Sometimes we sing it and we start the morning preaching hour. Brethren, we have met to worship. But we seldom ever sing one of the verses in that song that says this. It starts out, let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Amen. That song has so many great biblical truths in it, but that verse is particularly true to the message I want to preach tonight. Jesus, I'll remind you that this is the last of the four Gospels. This is the last chapter in the fourth Gospel. Jesus is soon to go back to heaven. He is meeting as a risen Savior with his disciples, and he says in verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, and here's my message tonight. Lovest thou me more than these? I want you to focus in on that more than these. He said unto him, yea, Lord, this is Peter's answer. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said, saith unto him, Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, this is the truth. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now I recognize tonight that the context, immediate context there is as a result of loving Christ that Peter as an apostle and as a minister of the gospel was to feed God's sheep. And to me personally, that says, Lord, Reggie, if you love the Lord, feed my sheep. If I love you, I'll feed you the word of God. But I want to kind of take this a little bit lifted out of its context in the sense in verse number 15 where it says, lovest thou me more than these? More than these. Who was the these? What was the these here? Was it the other disciples? Was it his whatever? What was it? And that's what I want to look at tonight. Now, I want to remind you that the first commandment in the Bible, according to the New Testament, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. The second commandment is to love thy neighbor as thyself. So the first commandment, in fact, you know the story there in Matthew chapter 22 where the man came to Jesus. Actually, they were tempting him. They were trying him and talking about the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. And in Galatians chapter 5, and it's in verse 14, real close to where we're at, the Bible teaches us there that love fulfills all the law. I mean, it's really not that complicated. And Jesus is making it easy when he says, if you just love the way I said to, and in the order and in the sequence and in the intensity that I said, the rest of it won't be a problem for you. Now, truth about this is we don't love God with all of our hearts and our hearts, but that ought to be our goal. And we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, generally speaking. But that's the divine goal in Christianity is to do that. I believe, now, here's an interesting thing. Jesus didn't say, Peter, don't love other people, just love me. He didn't say, Peter, don't love these things, these people, just only love me. What he's told him was, don't love them more than you love me. And the question to Peter's heart was this, do you love me more than these? He said, Peter, I'm not asking you not to love these people or these things, but Peter, you've got to love me more than any of these. And this is the question I want to ask us tonight in this message, and I want to challenge us tonight. How many believes I love you? I love you. And I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 14, by the way, this book, John, is the book of, you know, about, it's the gospel of love. It is written through the disciple whom loved the Lord Jesus is in a special way, and whom he said the Lord loved. The issue and the subject of love is just buried and webbed totally through this book of John. In John 14, 23, now here's a statement that Jesus said, and I want you to get this. If tonight you're saved, and if you are truly interested in growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and becoming that which he would have you and I to be, I think we ought to pay attention to this. He said this, if a man love me. Now remember, he asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? In John 14, 23, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Oftentimes we kind of get ourselves, if you'll notice about the first and the greatest commandment, it's not a thou shall not. This is where the devil gets us. He makes us think that the commands of Christ are a bunch of thou shall nots, and boy, it just binds me up. You know what Jesus said? If you'll do the thou shall do's, you don't have to worry about the thou shall nots. And I'm telling you, if the New Testament teaches anything about Christianity, is that it lifts us high and above the legality of the law and the rules and the regulations and traditions of men. And Christianity is a life of love, or it's not Christianity. Now, that love must be defined biblically, not humanistically, or you really get messed up. As I said, this is near the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ in this last chapter of the gospel, the last of the gospels, that's saturated with this subject of love. Now, what is the importance of this question that Jesus asked Peter to you and I? What is the truth that he's manifesting out through this question? What is the seriousness of this, that one of the last things he said to his disciples and that he said to Peter, who would be that main disciple there in Acts chapter 2, launching the church, what was the importance and the seriousness of what he was saying to him? It is this, that we can easily and in good intentions have our love out of order. And I literally believe that having love out of order and out of intensity order is the cause of most Christians' serious problems in their journey of faith. I really believe this with all my heart. It not only brings trouble in our lives, but it brings a curse sometimes on our families and our descendants. The Bible teaches that we must love God, the Lord Jesus Christ, supremely above everyone and everything. I'll hit this a little bit later, but we can even be in the ministry and do this. Not love God supremely. Amen. And if we fail here in this area, and that's why I believe Jesus is giving this as the last thing he says, nearly before he goes, lovest thou me more than these? And he's going to teach us a great secret of Christianity. If we fail here, life will be a train wreck, and I've seen it. I've been thinking on this a long time. I've been thinking on this quite a while. The Lord just brings things in gradually, and finally he just starts bringing this thing together. And God has just caused me to see something that's important to me. I hope it will be to you. But if we fail in this area of not loving God supremely more than these, life's going to be out of order. And when life's out of order, there's chaos and confusion and a train wreck. There's not much on self-love in the Bible. Yet, probably one of the first things I want to ask you tonight is, do you love Jesus more than you love yourself? Paul said, I could wish myself accursed for my brethren, that they'd be saved, the Jewish people. Paul said, I am vile. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. America's got a church that's full of self-love preaching. Amen. And the Bible teaches self ought to be crucified. Amen. And it's hurting us. And it's made us an idolatrous people. So I just want to get this one out of the first. The first question you need to ask yourself, do I love Jesus Christ more than I love myself? Actually, if you want to know what the real problem in America is with liberalism, liberalism is in its manifestation humanism. Humanism is a love of self above everything or anybody else and makes yourself your own God. So watch this. So everything you do is motivated to me. That's totally opposite of the love of God, because God's love was out to others. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But humanism and liberalism is all about me and centered on me. But I want to get into some practical things and get past this issue of, do I love Jesus more than I love myself? The first thing I want to mention tonight, do you love Jesus more than your spouse? If you don't, your marriage is headed for trouble. This does not negate the Bible truth of protecting, providing, serving, and loving your spouse. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. But let me tell you something. We better not love our wife more than we love Jesus Christ. Amen. And we better not love our husbands more than, we ought to love them. But if we love them more than Jesus Christ, we're going to have trouble. And I've seen this over and over again in marriages and in homes. You put your spouse before and above God, you're going to have trouble. I want to ask you a question tonight. Who determines your beliefs, your faith, the practice of your faith, your character and your conduct? God or your spouse? Would you follow your spouse into false doctrine? Would you follow your spouse into sin? I've seen this over and over again. And let me tell you what God does. God always tests us to see where our love is. If your spouse was converted to Mormonism, would you follow him? If your spouse said, well, let's do this, and it was lying and crooked and vile and filthy, would you going to go with it? If you read your Bible, God consistently says you have to love him more than anybody else or anything else in this world. I'm going to give you some honest truths tonight. Most men in America are spiritual wimps when it comes to this area. I've seen men, man after man, be steered away from God, the church, and truth because of a rebellious, manipulating wife who got mad at the preacher or somebody else in church. And got their own husband out of fellowship with God. Amen. And the man didn't have enough guts to say, listen, honey, you're going to have to get over this. Amen. You're going to have to love God more than yourself. Yep. And your own pet peeves and your own bothers. There's a higher cause than our feelings. Yeah. Did you know if there's not a higher cause and a greater love than our feelings in this church, we won't last 6 weeks. I've seen women turn from their devotion to Christ to a devotion to their husband, to follow him in ways that were not obedient to the Word of God. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last year, I don't remember who, Mr. Green, in the book that I wrote, where he said, honey, I love you, but I can't stand by and see you destroy this girl when you've done worse. What was that man doing? The truth about it was he was loving God more than he was loving his wife. And he realized that without loving the truth more than you love your own spouse, you cannot have truth in your life. That's right. And I want you to get this tonight, because if you're married here, you're going to hit rough waters. You're going to hit tests. You're going to hit trials. And one of the first things you need to ask about any situation, do I love God more than I love peace, than tranquility, and just getting along? I think you ought to, as much as lieth within you, live in peace. But when we're led to disobey the Bible and disobey the Word of God, Jesus said, if you love me, Keep my words. Do what the Bible says. Let me give you an example about that in Scripture. Abraham, at this point in his life, God tested him in this area. His wife said to him, why don't you go get you a handmaid and have a child? Why don't you commit adultery? Why don't, you know what, Abraham, because he loved his flesh more than he loved God, because he loved pleasure and himself more than he loved God, he went for it. What he should have done is said, woman, you speak as one of the foolish women do. Shut your mouth. Are you realizing what you're saying, Sarai? I mean, how many nights do you want to live in this house with me and her in the other bedroom? How stupid is this, honey? But he paid attention to his wife. He loved his flesh and his pleasure and all this kind of stuff. You know, and well, you know, my wife, that's what she suggested. You'll get yourself in trouble by doing that. Second thing I want to ask you tonight is, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love your children? It's one of the biggest areas in my 38 years of ministry that I've seen will destroy a family. So fast, make your head swim. In Leviticus chapter, I want to take your Bible to Leviticus chapter 10, one of the first instances where God teaches on this subject. I'm going to tell you tonight, not because it's me, but it will do you well to put your radar on Jesus, on this book tonight. I mean, put your radar on, make up your mind. There's nothing will rob you of this message tonight. And if you haven't gotten a message in the last 6 months, not because it's me preaching, it's because of the message that God has given me for us. In Leviticus chapter 10, I want to take you to a man by the name of Aaron. Aaron is the brother of Moses. Leviticus chapter 10. He had some sons, and one of the named sons was Nadab, and the other was Abihu. They were sons of Aaron in verse number 1. He took either of them as censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded not. Verse number 2, God didn't even mess around with this. God, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Can you imagine? Here's the preacher's boys. And they did something totally against the word of God. God didn't mess. God didn't go over and talk to Aaron and say, Aaron, now your sons are getting out of line. Boom, he killed them. But here's what I want you to see. Look down in verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. In other words, I'm going to be separated into this, and before all the people, I'll be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Michelle and Eliphaz, the sons of Uzziel, son of uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp. And they get, here's one of them's got his arms, and one of them's got one of the boys' legs, and they put him up, and they put him up probably on a blanket or something like that. They're dead. And they're carrying him outside the camp. Now, Aaron's the daddy. He's the minister. Now, I want you to look what God says. Verse number 6. Moses said unto Aaron. Now, I want you to get this. This is what made Moses a great man. Aaron was Moses' older brother. Are you listening? Moses, do you love me, God's saying, more than you love Aaron? Aaron, do you love me more than your sons? I want to tell you really why I believe God killed his sons. Because he knew in Aaron's heart, Aaron was putting his children above him. And he wasn't going to do a thing about that doing wrong in the service of God. Moses said unto Aaron and Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die. Lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, and he goes on there. But you know what God said? I don't even want, you don't rend your clothes. You don't uncover your head. You don't act like you're sad. You don't act like you're tore up. I did justly, and I don't want you mourning over what I did. Amen. And it's your sons. How'd you like God to do that with you? Here's what I'm saying to you tonight. There is a principle started here in the Old Testament about not putting your children above God. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'll show you how important it is. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, I'm telling you tonight, this is big. This is huge. It is everywhere. it will get hit in every family. How many in here believes y'all love your children? I believe y'all love your children. How many loves your children? Amen. Well, I love my kids. I'll tell you what, it scares me sometimes how much I love them. Danny, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I think I put them above God. It scares me. And it's like the Lord has said to me, Reggie, lovest thou me more than these? Now, there's a great truth we're going to come to here pretty soon of why God commands us to do this and why he knows this is the right thing for us. We'll get to that a little later. 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse number 12. Everybody there say amen. Now, the sons of Eli, the priest, were sons of Belial. Now, they weren't saved, okay? That's showing you can grow up in church, young people, and not be saved. You can be the preacher's son. You can be everybody's son and not be saved. And they knew not the Lord. I know. Listen, this is Bible. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom was for the people that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with the flesh hook, three teeth in his hand. He struck it in the pan, the kettle, the cauldron, the pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did that in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh to the day but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently and then take as much as thy soul desire, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of God, the Lord. Now, here's what was doing. Basically, the boys not only did not know the Lord, but they were using the meats. They were taking the meat from the offerings, and they were taking it by force, reselling it. They were making a killing in the meat industry. And they didn't want the meat done some things that God required in the sacrifice so it wouldn't mess up their ability to sell it. And they were getting rich off the church. Okay? They'd have loved Joel Osteen's prosperity preaching. They'd have went right along with what they're doing. Now, I want you to see what happens in verse 27. I'm talking about, do you love, I want you to ask yourself, every mom and dad, listen to me on this line, everybody listen to me in this church, I want you to ask yourself this question right now. Number one, do I love God more than I love myself? Number two, do I love God more than my spouse? Number three, do I love the Lord more than I love these kids sitting next to me tonight? Look at verse 27. There came a man of God. I like that phrase. That's what we need in this country. Amen. There came a man of God unto Eli. You know what that is? There came a man of God unto the man of God. Woo! And said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father, Aaron, when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy fathers all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation? And what, here's the phrase, everybody needs to underline, honorest thy sons above me. There it is. This is what Jesus is getting to in John chapter 21. Lovest thou me more than these? He is asking right here. He is basically telling Eli, your problem is you love your children more than you love me, and it's got you in trouble. Let me just tell you something. I believe Eli loved God. I do. I don't question that at all. I think he loved him. But his problem was that got him and his sons in trouble and his whole generations was that he loved his children more than he loved God. So because he loved them more, he let them get by with a rot gut. Never said a word to him. He said, honest thy sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now you look at verse 31, what happened? Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. Are you listening to me? This is the cost of loving your children more than you love God. You may be sitting here tonight and you had good intentions. You just didn't wake up and say, bless God, I'm going to love my kids more than I love God. But it's happening and you don't see it. It's happening and you don't see it. All right? He said, I'm going to cut off thine arm and said, there'll not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation. in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and grieve thine heart. He said, your children's going to wind up consuming your eyes. They're going to grieve your heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. What a curse on a man for putting his sons, his children, above God. Did he love his children? Yes. Did he love God? I believe he did. I don't believe you could honestly say tonight that he didn't love God. I believe he did. But he let something happen along the trail of his life where he began to love those boys and those sons more than he loved God. And it got him into an eternal curse. And I don't want that for me. And I don't want that for you. Let me tell you something. I've got 15 grandkids. I've got a set of twins coming. I'm so excited about them twins, I can't understand it. But let me tell you something. As much as I love those grandkids, I cannot love those grandkids more than I love my Lord. Or I cannot love my grandkids like I need to love them. My grandkids need to see me loving God more than them. Amen. He said in verse 34, this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall both die of them. Then that happened if you read your Bible. And he goes forth. But here's verse 36 is what really gets me. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread. And shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices that I may eat a piece of bread. They come crawling into the temple saying, I'm Eli's descendants. Would you give me a job here so I can eat? Is that what you want for your descendants? That kind of spiritual life and junk? The most common thing I've seen is taken up for children no matter what. Now, I'm going to say something. I want you mothers to listen to me. There's a little deal going around the country called Mama Grizzly. I'm a Mama Grizzly. You don't touch my kids. You don't bother my kids. That's dangerous for you to say. Don't get hot rod about that. I know, and I think if somebody's bothering your kids, I mean, they're doing something legitimately wrong, hey, you take up for them, okay? You protect your kids. But don't go around acting big deal like you're Mama Grizzly. My kids can't do any wrong. And if anybody thinks my kids done wrong, they're wrong. Can I tell you something tonight? I do not know a policeman in Wright County that's against your kids. Do you know what the problem out here at these riots and this defund the police business is? They've had a bunch of junk, sorry, low-down mom and daddies who put their kids above God Almighty and everybody else, who thinks they can do no wrong, it doesn't matter what they do, and now you got mamas out in the street standing in front of their children who are, quote, protesting and rioting, taking up for their kids doing what they're doing. That's a fact. In Portland, Oregon, that's went on. The pastor's not against your kids. The teacher, by and large, I know there's some bad dogs and bad eggs out here. But I can be honest with you here at school. I ain't never kept anybody around this place who, I hate kids. I'm here so I can hurt them. That ain't happening. That don't mean they can't get out of sorts with God and all that kind of stuff. But by and large, that's not the case. I don't go around because, all the police hate my child. They've stopped him 5 times doing 75 and they got it in for my boy. They stopped him 5 times drunk. They got it in for my son. I have literally sat and listened to dads rail the police for having to deal with their own son drunk. The son fighting the police, resisting arrest, and the dad stand up and defend his son. I've seen it. Sick. And I'll just tell you, curse. God don't bless that stuff. I'm telling you right now. He don't bless that stuff. Love your children. Protect your children. Provide for your children. Defend your children. But don't put your children above truth. Don't compromise the word of God because of your children. Well, I'm going to let them go and do this because all their friends are. You're putting them kids above the Lord. I'm going to let them wear this. You're putting this world above the Lord. You're putting your children above God. It'll get you. I'm telling you right now, it'll pay day someday. You will reap what you sow. Mark it in your day book. I want you to write something down. Never worship at the shrine of your child. Never worship at the shrine of your child. There's going to be some places they can't go. There's going to be some things they can't do. And you're going to have to put your foot down and say, because I love you, son, but I love Jesus more than I love you. And it ain't happening. Amen. Over in 3 John, it says, I have no greater joy in what? A deer kill? Getting 100% in the class? Making a three-pointer? What did John say I have no greater joy in? But to hear that my children walk in truth. Now in America, there's no greater joy than if your child does this and this and this and this and all this stuff. And it's like, it really doesn't matter if they walk in truth or not. Be careful about living out your life through your children's life. They're going to have the things that I didn't have. They're going to get to do the things that I didn't get to do. That's dangerous. Can I tell you something? Your kids need to have it tough. Amen. Best people I know are people that had it tough when they were little. What you do for and with your children, can you honestly say that it is for God's glory and not for my pride? Can you honestly say tonight that I do not honor my children above the Lord? I'm literally honest with you. I owe my life to my dad in the human sense. I'm serious as death. I'd probably been in prison or dead if not for my dad. When I was 13 years old, I'd led him along. I knew my daddy loved me. Danny, my dad loved me. He wanted to do anything for me that he could. I was 13 years old, had a situation, school, and he told me, said, "Now, son, if you're telling me the truth, I'll be with you all the way. If you're lying to me, you ain't never had a worse enemy." In that particular case, I had told him the truth. But here's what I kind of picked up, that I could probably do things and my dad would be with me. I didn't calculate my dad right. I didn't see into my dad's heart right. So as time went along, as 13 years in that rebellious time there, just starting off on a bad trail, then I did start doing stuff that was wrong and bad in school. And as I've told you before, never forget this state in my life. My dad standing on top of me, he had already knocked me on the floor, stood over me with taking his belt off, and he said, "You're my son, I love you, I'm not letting you get by with this." That's rung in my ears for years. I'm glad my dad didn't love me more than he loved God and loved the truth. You know what dad had figured out? That I was a habitual liar for my own serve, my own purposes. And I'd lie in a heartbeat if it kept me out of trouble. Let me give you a note. I'm thinking tonight, years ago I coached young people. Boys basketball. Had a ball game one night, come across the gym floor after the game was over. I thought, I didn't know anything was wrong with anybody. And right behind me, I heard a young man start railing on me. Just walking right behind me, and he started, mouthing me. I was like, "Man, what on earth is this?" I turned around, and he was standing right there with a snarled lip at me and kept barking at me. And his dad was standing right beside him. I felt like it was his dad's place to take care of the matter. So I looked at his dad. His dad gave me the look, "I'm with him." And I turned and I walked off. A few days later, that young man called me. And he kind of had this little attitude about, "Well, I kind of want to get things fixed up, you know," and so forth. And I was listening. And I listened, and I was kind of like, "Well," and then all of a sudden, in my spirit, something said something. And this is what it was. "This phone call's not real. There's somebody else listening in on this phone call. I'm just telling you God's truth." And something inside me said, "His dad is listening on another line." I let him talk. I didn't know what to do hardly. I just let him talk and tried to give whatever you would try to, if it could get it resolved, let's get it resolved, be fine, work it out. I asked his dad later down the road, I said, I want to ask you a question, because they're talking to me. I said, I want to ask you a question. If you answer me, would you please tell me the truth? He said, yeah, I will. I said, were you listening in on your son's conversation when he called me on another phone? His eyes got wide as a silver dollar, and he said, yes. But he never apologized for it. Now, you listen to me. That man was worshiping at the shrine of his own son. And he ruined his boy. That, what was he telling his boy, Phil, when he said, you call him up and I'll be listening in? They were going to trap me. It's going to try to say that I said this or I said that or whatever, see. Can I just be honest with you? Don't ever do that to anybody in this world. Don't do that to your spouse. Don't do that to your children. Don't do that to anybody in this world. If you have not got enough honor and character to just flat out say, hey, we want to talk to you. Instead of trying to trap somebody in something that they said and then be able to say, no, you weren't, because I was listening. And I'm going to tell you something. It ruined that boy. You honor your son above the Lord, you will get in trouble. I'm going to give you a tough one tonight. And this is to me. Reggie, lovest thou me more than these people? Do you know one of the biggest problems pastors have in this world is that they love their people more than they love God? And they'll refrain from preaching on things and taking a stand on truth because they know that people won't like it. And I will tell you something. This has been a battle for me down through the years. I think every pastor battles it. Lovest thou me, Reggie, more than you do that congregation? Reggie, will you stand on the truth if all of them said, I'm mad at him. I don't like what he preached. Will you love me more than you love those people? I love you people. I mean, I'm honest with you. I'm like Paul. I have you in my heart. And I want to have fellowship with you. And I want us to have a great time in the Lord. But according to Scripture, I can't love you more than I love God. And the way that manifested is that if I am silent on issues because I think it might, you know, upset somebody. If I'm silent on standards because I think, well, it might upset somebody and they might leave. If I'm silent on sin and disobedience to Scripture because I'm afraid it might offend them and we won't have the fellowship that we ought to have, you know what I'm doing? I'm loving these more than I love him. If I'm silent on truth, most pastors love their flocks, but it's very hard sometimes. There's a testing that comes. I've been tested over and over in this area. You have to choose the Word of God or choose them. I'll give you another one tonight. I hope this will help you. Do you love the Lord Jesus more than you love your siblings? Your own brothers and sisters? Do you side with your brother or sister just because they're your brother and sister, even when they're in the wrong? Can you say to your sibling, I love you, but I can't go along with you on this? Your sibling needs to know that you love God more than them. And can I say to you, you cannot love your sibling in any realm that you should unless you love God above them. Amen. I'm going to show you the power of loving God supremely, how that you cannot love the people you're around pretty soon. It's in the Bible. God showed it to me this evening. Fifthly, I want to ask you, do you love the Lord more than your parents? Do I love the Lord Jesus more than these, my parents? When parents are disobeying God, can you, with a respectful attitude, say, Mom and Dad, I love you, but I can't go along with this? Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Same thing he said over to Peter, more than these. Young people, I want to encourage you, love your dad and mom. Love them deeply. I love my dad and my mom. But God does not want me to love them above him. And you don't have perfect parents. Okay? But the only way you'll really truly love them is loving God above your own mom and dad.
Amen.
The next one is, how about your friends and your peers? Do you love friends and the people that you run around with more than the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you compromise the word of God for them? You'd rather have their acceptance and their approval and their fellowship more than Jesus? The Bible said friendship with the world is enmity with God. Young people, let me tell you, one of the traps Satan will get you into early is that you love your buddies, your girlfriends, your boyfriends, whatever it may be, your friends, whatever it may be, even here in the church, more than you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, you cannot honestly love your peers and your friends in this church if you don't love Jesus more than you love them. I'm not talking about a self-righteous, uppity, I'm spiritual and you're not stuff. I'm not talking about that junk. I am talking about loving the Lord Jesus Christ supremely so that you can love them. And that so that love of Christ overrides those temptations to be pulled into the junk and pulled into the stuff that you know is not right. Here's a big one. Lovest thou me more than the brethren in church? We're to love, the Bible said, love one another fervently with a pure heart. But did you know there's times when you've got to love God more than you do the brethren in church? I've told people for years, and I've not always done this, but I've tried to by God's grace. Never stand by people. Stand by truth. If you stand by truth, you'll be standing by the right people. But even in church, you can love the brethren so much you just don't want to take a stand on an issue because you don't want to see that fellowship broken. You want to be able to have all that fun that you've had. But there will come times you'll be tested in this area where you've got to love God more than you do even the brethren in the church. Let me give you another one. Do you love Jesus more than you love the church? And I'll kind of take this out, the denomination. The group. I've literally watched man after man over the years go down in the ministry, become totally ineffective because they love their denomination more than they love Jesus Christ. It's thick. They'll bow to that denomination like that, no matter what the Bible says. It's all over America. I will tell you this, preachers have bowed to their denomination leaders about this Bible. Preachers that knew this was the Word of God, knew this was the preserved Word of God, but all their denominational buddies, and they loved them, and they wanted to be accepted by them and their approval more than they wanted the approval of God. And it cost them. On a practical level, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you love your employees or your employer? Do you put their wants and demands and desires above honoring the Lord? Is what they want to do, and if it's even contrary to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, is that what's going to fly? Or is he going to say, listen, we're not doing that here. That's not pleasing to my Lord. Let's go even personal, more personal this way. Do you love the Lord Jesus more than you love your hobbies? Your interest. Hunting. Fishing. Travel. You know why I know I'm preaching tonight? Because there are no amens. And I'm with you. Okay? I'm not preaching down at you. I am telling you I'm just preaching what God's been doing in here. If you love, there's a lot of things that's good. I love to deer hunt. I love to ride a four-wheeler. But let me just tell you something. If I'm out riding four-wheeler when I should be in church, I love four-wheeling more than I do my Savior. Is your job, your vocation, your work, do you love that more than you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Didn't say you didn't love Jesus. Do you love it more than him? That's the problem. Lovest thou these more than me, Jesus said. Where is Jesus on your priority list in life? In reality. What about this? In your wardrobe or dress? Lovest thou thy clothes above me? Lovest thou attire and appearance and worldliness more than me? You say, I ain't giving that up for nobody. You're just saying, I love that more than I love Jesus. What about our cultural trends and fads? Would you rather conform to this world's fads and fashions than conform to the Word of God? Then the truth about it is we love these more than Him. Are there some of those these that's in your heart that God has revealed tonight, the truth that you love these more than you love Him? I'm not preaching this to put us down or to knock us down or depress us. But once in a while, we really need to look at things as they are. Do you expect your spouse to love you more than Christ? Do you expect your parents to love you more than they love Jesus? You know, Jesus gave us this illustration of this thing in the marriage ceremony. Leaving all others, forsaking all others, cleave thee only unto Him. How many of you tonight like to be married but know that your spouse loves somebody else more than they loved you? That wouldn't fly too hot, would it? Why do we think it's something that Jesus wants us to love Him more than these? Now I want to go to the important part of this. Jesus never said to Peter, or didn't say to him, not to love other people and love other things. But what he wanted Peter to understand was this eternal, critical truth. We must love others, but we cannot love them above the Lord. But never above God. And this love for God supremely will become a guiding force in our life. Now, I'm telling you, listen to me. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That love that issues from God Almighty through us becomes a guiding force in what our decisions are, our actions, our character, and our conduct. When that occurs, no preacher can offend you preaching the Bible. I said Christianity is a faith, it's a religion of love. It is motivated, it is activated by love. When a man loves his words, he loves Jesus, it's just there. You just want to do what God wants you to do. Now your flesh will resist it, but your spiritual man wants to do what God wants to do. All right? There's a difference between a rebellious attitude toward what God has said to do and a desire to do it, even though you're having a battle in your flesh to do it. All right? Never love these above God. Love God above everything. That is a guiding force. This love for God is a guiding force. The truth is, we cannot love other people. We cannot love our parents. We cannot love our children, our brethren, the lost people, anyone as we should, unless we love God first. Now, I'm going to take you to an Old Testament example of this, and I want to show you something. I want to ask you a question. Joseph had been bought as a slave by Potiphar. He was a servant in Potiphar's house and he turned everything over to him. He held him nothing back from him except his wife. Potiphar's wife, I want to ask you a question tonight. Did Joseph love Potiphar's wife, and how would you know whether he loved her or not? I'll answer that question for you. Joseph loved Potiphar's wife more than Potiphar himself did. Are you listening to me? And let me tell you how I know that Joseph loved Potiphar's wife. He said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against my God? You know what he was saying? I love you as a human being, but I love God more. And if I love God supremely, I will not commit this sin with you. Let me tell you who loves you is the person who loves God so much they will not get into your sin. And they'll try to lead you out of that sin and persuade you away from that sin. But see, if you don't have the supreme love for God as that guiding power and that guiding force in your life, and it's not there, and you love your own pleasure and you love your own self, and you love your own stuff more than you do God, you have no power to keep you out of sin. And you have no power. Here's the honest truth tonight. This just astounded me when the Holy Spirit revealed, pulled back the curtain. Potiphar loved her. Joseph loved Potiphar's wife more than Potiphar himself or anybody else around her world. And the reason we know that is because his love for God would not allow him to ruin her life. This makes sense. If you love God supremely, that is the power that will cause you to act and conduct yourself toward other people in such a way that will not damage them. Let me just tell you boys something. If you love that girl, you're not going to want her to commit fornication with you. But if your love for yourself and your pleasure is above the love, your love for Jesus Christ, you have no power to control your own flesh. Lovest thou me more than these? The shocking thing is that the world doesn't even have they're so far away from this wisdom, they don't even have a clue. You're only able to love others correctly if you love God supremely more than them. Now, I want to give you a little warning about this that kept coming in me, and that is do not compartmentalize. Can I help me say that word? Compartmentalize your life. What do you mean by that? I've got a church compartment. I have a work compartment. I have a home compartment. And I have my fun compartment. And God is only in this compartment. That's dangerous. This is tied to this because all ground is holy ground for the child of God. Doesn't matter where I'm at. If I'm in a gun show, I ought to be just as good a Christian at a gun show as I am behind this pulpit. Amen. And what will enable me to do that? I ought to be just as good a Christian at the house. Now I'm whooping myself now. As I am behind this pulpit. But what will enable me to do that? What will give me the power to do that? The fruit of the Spirit, God's love, loving Him supremely. That's what will give me the power. And it's not of myself. It's not, oh, I'm going to walk out of church tonight and do better this week. I'm not talking about that. I am talking tonight about humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But He giveth more grace. Oh, God, I need more love. I need a superior, supreme, superior love to You than anybody else. And God, I don't do that by nature. And God, it doesn't come naturally. Oh, God, do a work in my heart that I would love You supremely so that I can love my wife and love my children and love my brethren and love others as I ought to love them. To love any of these, here's what the problem is, makes us an idolater. If we don't love God supremely, then whatever we rub supremely becomes our God. At that point, we're an idolater. Anything that comes between you and God becomes an idol. I want to ask you a question. I just say this again in love because, you know, I've already been there. I'm still there. I'm sure I'm going to be there many days from now. Asking myself this question, lovest thou me more than these? And I don't want us to be down about this. I want us to be honest, but I don't want us to be down. Fact of it is, you know what I'd like for you to do? I'd like for you to rejoice tonight that you heard this message from God's word. Amen. I'd like to say, you know what? This is good for me. Amen. And I'm not going to leave here depressed and down and beating myself over the head about how sorry a Christian I am. I'm going to leave here tonight saying, you know what, God, I learned something. That I can simplify my life a lot just by loving You supremely. And God, I'm asking You to give me that grace so that I can love others as I need to love them. If the Holy Spirit revealed to you tonight some of these things that you, or these, whatever people may be, that your very daily life and your actions prove that you love these more than Him. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you tonight and said, yep, right there. If He put the button on an issue or a subject or an area, I would deal with that tonight. I would say, Lord, would You forgive me? I acknowledge this sin in my life. Lord, I didn't necessarily mean to put them before You. I didn't really want to wind up like that, but God, it happened. And Lord, I want to repent of it, and I want to turn from it tonight. You'll never love yourself. You'll never love your spouse. You'll never love your children. Let me just tell you tonight. About loving yourself, man, that's a whole message on its own. But you'll never love your spouse, your children, your siblings, your brethren at church, the lost. You never love the lost unless you love God supremely. Life itself, as you should and could be, unless you love Him more than these. Now, I'm going to give you a final biblical illustration of this, and it's from the father of faith. His name is Abraham. You want to watch Abraham. In Abraham's life, everything you're going to have to deal with is there. One of the very first things after God really dealt with Abraham, changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and Abraham began his walk with God, in Genesis chapter 22, God is going to deal with this issue. Abraham, I'm going to test your love to me. I want you to take your son, thine only son. Now you listen to me. Abraham had been promised that son. God had given it to him in promise. Isaac was everything to Abraham. If you believe you me. He said, I want you to take him. I want you to take him to Mount Moriah. And I want you, there you offer him. What was the question God was asking Abraham? Loves me more than that son? I'm going to promise you tonight this. That every family in this church, there will come a time in your life when God is going to do with you what he did with Abraham. And he's going to ask you this question. Lovest thou me more than that boy sitting there? Lovest thou me more than that little girl sitting there? See, God never wanted Isaac to be offered on an altar. God already had prepared the ram, everything. It wasn't Isaac God was after. It was Abraham. It is not your children God is after in that sense. It is you. And I am telling you tonight, this is a deadly sin. As a pastor of 38 years, I have watched it play out over and over and over and over and over and over. And you think, surely this will stop. And it doesn't. Now, I'm telling you tonight, this preacher and that mother right there, we better love God, Karen. I get such a kick out of you guys with your grandchildren. It's a blessing, isn't it? They just swap from the back to here, from the back to here, from the back, and it's wonderful. And they're enjoying these blessed grandchildren. But you're like Karen and I. Karen, we better not put our kids or our grandkids above our Lord. Don't do it. I beg you, don't do it. I beg, Karen, if you see me putting our children above our Lord, say, honey, I can't go with you on this. This ain't right. Doesn't mean you don't love them. In fact, what it means is you do love them. Let's bow our heads.